Pilgrim, Rob Laffin. A very good morning to you, Rob.
Morning, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, and I hope you are too. Thanks so much for joining us on the programme. We're going to talk about an app you developed called Tippy Talk, which I'm sure will be of interest to our listeners. But before we do that, perhaps you can tell us what led to you coming up with this idea and why you felt you had to.
Yeah, my daughter Sadie was diagnosed with autism there about 2.5 years ago, and she's non-verbal as well, So I was studying out in Limerick Institute of Technology. So one of the modules we were doing in the course I was doing kind of gave me a bit of inspiration to build a communication system for her,
And what made you feel that, given the fact that she's Sadie's non-verbal, that she would be able to interact, with an app which you went on to develop?
Well, see, initially we were told to get her an iPad, that would kind of alleviate a lot of the frustrations and stuff like that, So I saw how intuitive she was with the iPad. She just kind of scrolling through screens and going in and out of apps and whatever, so there was no bother to her. So then it was when I was studying the module inside, it was the same kind of technology, it was a little touch screen. I said, hey, I could do something here now with this, So Sadie kind of, she views the world through pictures anyway, she was using a system called PEX, called Picture Exchange Communication System, whereby she just hands us over little pictures of her desires, wants or needs, whatever, trying to communicate out what she wants. So basically what I done was I got all three of these pictures and incorporated them onto the touchscreen and managed to link them to text messages. So if she wanted to communicate with either myself or my wife, she could just literally touch a button and a text would be sent out to her straight away.
And that's what brings it to the next level, isn't it? Because as you mentioned, she was able to communicate and can communicate with pictures. But this, first and foremost, I presume there's that swipe option or she can select where they are on the tablet, but also the fact that then it's a form of communication that's, you don't have to be in the same room effectively.
That's it, I'll tell you a little story there. I was myself and my wife, we were discussing there last week what we get from the old chip shop, Sadie was in the room and she heard the conversation, so my wife said to me, look, get Sadie some onion rings, whatever. So I was on my way up to the chip shop. And I got the text on my phone then from Sadie, from her, from the device I created. Hi, Daddy, I want chicken nuggets. So she left us, she kind of left us know that she could, sorry, I've lost what I said there. No,
I mean, that was a bit of a breakthrough moment, was it, when you received that message?
It was a beautiful moment, it reaffirmed to me that, she, just because she's autism and she can't speak doesn't mean she can't understand, because she could understand. She heard a decision that was made by us for her. But she let me know then through the system that no, that's not what she wanted. She wanted something else.
That empowers her as well.
Totally, yeah. And even the other night, she ran over to the screen and just gave it two little quick taps. I just saw her out the corner of my eye and said, I wonder what she's after doing there now. So she ran back to the sofa and she was jumping up and down the sofa and smiling at me. And the text came through then, hi, Daddy, I feel happy.
It's just
little things like that. It's just making things that little bit easier.
Has it changed her demeanour generally, Rob, in that,
It has. The frustration levels have really dropped, She's getting her point across. She's communicating out if she's frustrated or if she feels anxious or tired or stuff, little things like that,
And you can have the appropriate response to her mood rather than having to guess it or perhaps get it wrong and compound the frustration.
Exactly, because that's the way it was for a long time. We were kind of trying to second guess, what's going on here? Trying to go through all the list of stuff to see if she wanted something or how she was feeling and stuff like that, So.
When I'm trying to understand that emotion, what it must feel like, I'd say parents, say, for instance, who wouldn't be familiar with your situation, it's like a very young child when they're crying, perhaps, and they can't tell you why they're crying.
Exactly.
And you do get that sense of frustration that you want to be able to help them, but is it a pain in the stomach? Are they hungry? Have they got a sore toe?
Yeah, exactly. It's all those little things, Yeah, it's working anyway. We're delighted, Essentially, that day she sent me that text message looking for the chicken nuggets. To me, that was my daughter's first words to me, really,
Well, you could do all the testing in the world and you could get all the awards in the world and get all the money in the world, but it's only when you see that it works, that something you developed, and that means your daughter can communicate and correct you in reality, tell you what she wants to eat, that it proves that it works.
So that's where we are at the minute with it, like, you know, so...
Yeah, now, the 2015 Engineers Ireland Innovative Student Engineer of the Year Award. Have you won that, or you're in the running for that, Rob?
No, I won that. I won that last Friday week.
Brilliant.
Yeah, won that one.
I presume now that you want to, or have you had the ability yet to share this with other parents? Because I presume it's not unique to autism. I presume there's other applications for it as well.
Yeah, that's where I'm going forward with it now. Like, it's very easily transferable to any person that has verbal difficulties, like, you know, people with motor neuron disease, difficulty speaking through stroke, Alzheimer's, dementia, you name it, really, like, you know. All it is just a simple little touch of one little button on the screen, and a message can be sent out to whoever they want, wherever they want.
And is it going to be made commercially available?
Well, that's the next step. No, I'm linking with an enterprise acceleration program here in Limerick, and I'm going to spend a couple of months getting on the product development side and business side of it as well, and I hope to push it out really, really soon.
Well, it sounds fantastic, and I imagine that the more Sadie uses this, it will develop with her, if you know what I'm saying, that once she, you know, every action has a reaction, and once she, you know, now she realises that, you would imagine that her interaction with it and effectively her parents will increase further.
Definitely, yeah, most definitely. Like, just last night alone, like, she just ran over to the screen and asked for milk and cookies.
Okay.
It's just simple little things like that, like, you know, and whereas... couple of weeks ago, if she wanted milk and cookies, it could have been a...
Would it be a guesswork, wouldn't it? You would have to sort of try...
Yeah, it would have been guesswork, yeah. And the frustration level went through the roof and could have led to meltdown stage and just upset for her in general around, like, you know. So.
Okay. So it's good for her and good for mum and dad too, for sure,
yeah,
I'd say.
Definitely.
Look, we wish you the best of luck with it, Rob. And, you know, hopefully you can get it to market. And I'm sure you want other parents to enjoy what you've been enjoying the last couple of weeks in particular. And we thank you so much for telling us about it. And we're actually going to talk now about a new programme for young musicians, which is taking place in Letterkenny. And to discuss this, we're joined by Kevin Murphy, Director of Wall to Wall Music, which is leading this programme. Kevin, good morning to you.
Greg, how are you?
I'm absolutely brilliant. So tell us about the Soundwaves.
Well, Soundwaves is a music course that we're running with the Donegal Music Education Partnership all of this summer. It begins on the 20th of July and runs to the 6th of September in bursts, so it's not that whole time. But the whole idea behind it is to get young musicians, 14 to 19-year-olds, get them together and start to give them the skills that a 21st century musician needs these days.
And what are they?
Well, instead of just only being a player, you've got to be a writer, an arranger, you've got to work across musical genres, so you might be in trad, but you've got to have an idea of how to work in pop and classical and jazz and other things. You need to be able to produce, you need to be able to market and promote yourself. So all of these skills are great things to develop, but I suppose the other side of it is too, is that we're getting young people together to create things with their peers and their friends. Mm. So the idea, too, that you work collaboratively is very much a 21st century thing.
And sometimes, you know, particularly young musicians, and we have all been there, sometimes you need to take the blinkers off because you can get yourself stuck in a genre and, you know, that can work for you as well. But, you know, it's a diverse musical industry now with lots of collaborations between different genres and what have you. And you have to be open to that, really, to make a success of it sometimes.
Yeah, you definitely do, especially if you're looking at it from a professional point of view. But of course, if you're looking at it from a fun point of view, because not everybody who's going to come in this course is necessarily going to want to develop a career in music, but the idea that you can get involved in all sorts of different musical experiences, especially with your friends, is a really fun thing to do, I think, because music is a very open source kind of platform, isn't it? If you take the modern jargon, it's a thing that you can move freely in, and you can, if you work with other people, it's a great thing.
We are blessed with fantastic musical acts on this show on a weekly basis now at this stage, and many of them are young musicians that are just coming through, perhaps releasing the first EPs or, you know, just about to hit it big. And, you know, the likes of Little Hours we had on some time ago, and they were playing in C sessions last night. It's just how they develop. But one of really where I'm getting at with that is one of the things that comes through this is about how you get your music out to your audience, and that is all changed now. Because you have the online options, you know, you can market yourself. So it's a very fluid industry at the moment, isn't it? How it's changing and how it's developing.
Well, the positive of that, of course, is that the power is in your own hands. And if you know how to do that, and if you know how to operate across these different digital platforms, then you've got a chance to kind of make a mark, whereas before you perhaps was a bit more of a closed industry. And we're lucky too that we've got a lot of very well-known local musicians involved, like Declan McClafferty is going to be coming along, and people like Billy Robinson, who's in a lifetime career in sound engineering, people like Seamus Deveney, who's doing amazing things musically in Donegal. But the nice thing about this is that the young musicians who are coming along here are going to work alongside them, so it's not like there's no divide. When you're forming groups and within the program, you're going to be playing alongside some of these great people. Another up-and-coming one, Sarah Cullen.
Yeah.
She seems to be doing great things too. She's going to be involved as well. So
that's absolutely
delighted.
Brilliant. And that's an important aspect of it. And they're not teaching them, as you say, it's involvement. They're interacting.
That's it.
Jamming, I suppose you could at times as well.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah. Because after all, music is a practical thing.
So who do you see this program targeted at? We've discussed the age group 14 to 19, but, you know, in terms of if they're listening today or if... their mums or dads or brothers or sisters are listening and they say, right, this could be for my sibling or it could be for me. Who do you see this appealing to most?
Well, I suppose the first thing is that you've got to have some kind of real genuine interest in music and developing yourself in music.
Does that include vocalists, by the way?
We're looking for singers, people who are interested in trad music. So you could be an accordion player, a fiddle player, a flute player in the trad scene. You could be a rock musician.
Someone works exclusively with beats, perhaps?
And you could be someone who also works exclusively with technology, who doesn't play a particular instrument, but is good with beats or good with decks or good with even like this new thing of VJing. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody in that kind of area who's interested in digital technology, or works through apps, we're interested in them too.
I have a feeling what this is going to be. Is this the first time this has been done?
This is the inaugural Soundwaves.
Right, because I was going to say, this is, you know, musicians have a great way of coming together and working together and collaborating. I have a feeling that this is going to turn out to be something really, you know, special. Do you get that feeling?
Well, we do. We have run similar things in different places, and we find this to be an amazing way for young people to connect with music. Because actually, when I think about what they're doing, they're listening now in a completely different way. So they're not kind of being... I mean, they're not getting the record out. Some of them are getting the record out of the sleeve now because vinyl's making a comeback. But actually what they're really doing is they're listening to a very, very broad range of things. And the kids who might be classical musicians who come in this course are also listening to jazz, pop, and trad. The trad musicians are doing the same. And it's that idea that, you know, the cutting across all of this... and at the root of it is that actually if you come together as a group of people, you bring all of your own influences and you're prepared to be open to connect with people and then jam together, then really amazing new music comes out of that in our experience. But also really great friendships, really great connections, really great possibilities come out of that.
Could get you out of the bedroom if you're a bedroom musician. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's an opportunity to see where you're at. You know, where you could go, who's to say, do you know what I mean? Because a lot of people are immensely talented, but they hide that talent for some reason or other. There's just that one, maybe a little bit of confidence or a little bit of lack of faith in their own material, you know, but something like this could be a great way of, you know, getting out there and seeing that your stuff is good and getting it to a wider audience.
Yeah, and especially that first thing, seeing that your stuff is good. Mm. And there are amazing people, or we could say there are ordinary people doing amazing things all the time. And these young folk that are doing creative stuff, often, as you say, it's kind of, they're a bit unsure where it stands. But actually, when they come along something like this, the whole point of this is to say, well, look, what you're doing is brilliant. Mm.
From the 20th of July to the 6th of September, but there'll be different nights and people can get that information.
The easiest thing to go is on the DMEP site, dmep.ie. You can give them a call, 074-917-6293. But DMEP is where you get all the information And you can connect through there.
And you want people really to touch base by Friday, 26th of June.
That's the deadline. You got to apply. Let us know what you're about. There are limited places, but get on the internet or on the phone and apply 26th of June. If we hear from you by then, hopefully we can get you involved.
Excellent. Well, we retain that information here, of course, if anyone wants to ring us. And, of course, we'll also link the website and what have you via our social media. So hopefully it'll get through to as many people as is possible. Kevin Murphy, Director of Wall to Wall Music, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. A very good morning to you, Joe Crowley.
Good morning to you, Greg. How are you?
How are you getting on? Not so bad. Now, you are a maritime enthusiast, and you're talking to us about the Row Around Ireland Challenge. It's not the row around. You're not going to be rowing all over the country. It's rowing, isn't it?
No, unfortunately not, Greg. I'd love the comfort of a car and a steering wheel now, I could tell you.
And a bit of road rage, but no. Have you started this adventure yet, Joe?
We have indeed, yeah. We started out in Bray 3 weeks ago today, in Bray County Wicklow, and we've been solidly rowing around Ireland since. We're now up at Malin Head. Having had some gorgeous days and some not so gorgeous days, and tides and waves and all sorts of events dictating against us on our way up to Malin Head.
How does this work in terms of high seas or what have you? I presume you want to take this, you know you're going to see some rough water.
Indeed, yeah, Greg. It's a 15-foot rowing skiff that we're rowing around in Ireland in, with two rowers in it at a time. So, yes, we do encounter some rough waters and a lot of hairy tides, which have been working for and against, especially up in the Malin Head area. But that's part of the challenge, really, and that's what makes it such an adventure. The cause is a terrific one. We're rowing around Ireland for cystic fibrosis, and we've got 20 volunteer rowers making up 10 teams. Each of whom are hopefully going to do 100 miles of this 1,000-mile journey around Ireland.
And how are you working the shifts, for want of a better word? I presume, obviously, you row a bit, take a break, but how is that working?
Well, we're changing roughly every 10 miles. Now, obviously, the logistics and the shape of the coastline doesn't dictate that we can change it exactly every 10 miles, so some people have to row longer legs than others, but essentially we change roughly after every 3 hours or so in the boat, and we're stopping. We're allowing 120 days for this task, which is a 50-day journey. In fact, we've got 50 days rowing, but we're allowing 120 days for it in order to allow for foul and bad weather
And as well as that,
we're
too,
not every day now.
Yeah, and to come ashore and I suppose to rattle the bucket, so to speak.
Indeed, indeed, and I must say the people of Donegal have been most generous so far, and have been very, very warm and given us a very hospitable welcome everywhere we've gone. It's a fantastic county you have here, and it's a pleasure to be rowing around and seeing it from the seaside rather than the land side.
Yeah, how far out do you tend to stay from land?
Well, generally, we're within a mile or two of land, but on some of the crossings, we could be 5 or 6 or 8 miles out to sea. Obviously, it's beneficial for us to cross from headland to headland.
Yes, of course.
Rather than to hug the coast all the way, tight all the way. So we can be quite far out to sea. We are planning to go across Donegal Bay, possibly in one sweep, which is a drop from Rathlin O'Byrne Island straight across to Ballycastle, and that's a 35-mile passage. Mm-hmm. Now, depending on the weather eye we get, we may change our plans and go in a little bit and come down by Mullet Moor and Sligo.
Absolutely beautiful part of the world as well. Now, obviously, there's the physical aspect to this, but I presume the planning aspect of it is almost equally as important in terms of tides, weather, plotting, plan, you know, that type of thing.
Well, the logistics of it are huge, Greg. Yeah. I mean, we have a shore-based jeep that is following us around with supplies and the spare crew and that. But especially around Donegal, in fact, because some of the headlands are so remote, and getting out to them and then getting back down to get around the other side to another headland does pose all sorts of logistical problems, certainly.
You are going to stop off in a few spots as you make your way across the northwest coast and south again, aren't you? Where are you likely to touch land? Do we know yet?
Yes, we're heading for Fannet Head today, and we may put in, I think we probably will put in Ballyheernan Bay, we'll land there. And tomorrow or the next day, hopefully, I don't think the weather is very good for tomorrow, but maybe the day after, we'll head on then to Dunfanaghy, where we've been offered incredible hospitality, and then around the corner to come down the west coast after that. But again, I stress, the people have been incredibly hospitable and very welcoming to us. And that's part of this challenge as well, is that we're looking for accommodation as we go around. So we have our website, which is rowaroundireland.com, and there's all the details there. And if you want to roll in and give us some accommodation as we make our way down the coast, or indeed if we're looking for rowers from rowing clubs, if they want to get in and row a leg with us. Also on the website there, you'll find a donate button to donate to Cystic Fibrosis. Or we have a text, you can text row4CF, that's ROW digital 4CF, to 50300, and you can text €4 if you do that. So repeat that, row4CF to 50300. And you can donate €4 to that. And all of those donations help towards a very, very worthy cause. CF is an incredibly debilitating disease that kids suffer, you know.
Obviously, we have, this is slightly digressing a bit, but we have a fantastic marine life around the Donegal coast. Have you encountered anything like that? Not specifically to Donegal, but...
Yeah.
Did you get the attention of anything?
Yeah, just coming around the head yesterday, or just before we came around the head, over on the east side of Malin Head, we encountered a school of dolphins yesterday.
Lovely.
That were very active, jumping around the overfalls there in one of the islands. And they entertained us for a short while before they disappeared off to some other...
They didn't come near, you know. I'd be like, God, you're really nice, but could you please stay over there?
No, unfortunately, they didn't come over to have a sniff or say hello to us. But it really lifts your heart when you get something like that, especially if it's a drizzly all day, as it was yesterday. But today has lifted our spirits as well.
Exactly. Well, we're not going to delay you. I presume you're hitting the water soon enough, are you?
We're hoping to hit the water now very shortly, southwestward bound for Fannet Head, and we'll pick it up from there, I hope.
Well, I suppose on a map you're going downhill. I suppose it doesn't work like that, does it?
Well, it doesn't quite work like that, but it's very good to know we're on the west side of Fannet Head, because the clutches of the tides and everything about it was just a daunting task in itself. But we're around the right side of it now, as you say, and we're looking forward to a downhill stretch with some fine weather.
Okay, indeed. Well, listen, stay safe and enjoy the view, which I'm sure you will. And best of luck raising funds for, as you mentioned, Cystic Fibrosis Ireland, an incredibly worthy cause. And hopefully the people's generosity continues. Give us that website again, because that's really seems to be the one-stop shop for any information people might want.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Greg, for that opportunity. The website is Row Around Ireland, all one word, rowaroundireland.com. And there's a donate button on that as well. And if you want to text row4CF, that's ROW numeral 4CF to 50300. And we can collect €4 in that manner.
All right. The best of luck. As I say, keep safe and enjoy.
Thank you, Greg. And maybe we'll be in touch with you again as we've progressed down the coast.
Would love that. Take care, Ger.
Okay. Many thanks for that. Thank you, Greg.
The Weekend Edition, brought to you by Innishow Motors, your main Nissan and Kia dealer in the Northwest. Drive ahead with Innishow Motors, Letterkenny and Mallon.
There's no need to put that job off any longer with Watson's great weekend hire offer. Hire any piece of equipment on Friday and keep it until Monday for the price of one day. That's right, 3 days hire for the price of one. Only at Watson Home Hire and Hardware in Letterkenny and Donegal Town. Call 07491 67777.
In Saturday's Irish Independent, don't miss our all-new TV guide for planning your must-see shows. And in his new column, Dermot Bannon's essential tips on improving your home. In sport, Martin Breheny looks at what Tip must do to take the crown, while Henry Shefflin reveals what it's like being on the outside. And Peter Canavan picks his top 10 footballers. Plus, there's a free chocolate or lemon cake for every reader at Lidl. Saturday begins with the Irish Independent. Before you make up your mind, open it. Terms and conditions apply.
The Irish summer, so unpredictable. But whatever the temperature, it's absolute zero at your local Renault dealer. That's 0% APR finance on our new 152 range, plus 5 years warranty, all until June 30th. Saving over €2,000 on a 152 Renault? Now that's pretty cool. Test drive one today at Highland Motors Letterkenny. Finance is made by way of hire purchase agreement subject to lending criteria. Deposit required. Terms and conditions apply. Visit Renault.ie.
Now at Fokker's Blinds and Curtains. Huge discounts of vertical blinds, roller blinds, Venetian blinds, roof blinds and Roman blinds. Fokker's Blinds and Curtains, Dunloe and Letterkenny. 9168737. Also professional cleaning service for blinds, carpets and upholstery.
This is a Father's Day announcement from the National Lottery.
Do not get him socks for Father's Day.
Unless... one, he's an Arctic explorer, or two, he likes to do sock puppets. Otherwise, remember Dad's still have dreams too. So surprise him with one of the big range of National Lottery scratch cards for this Father's Day, June 21st. With prizes up to €500,000, he'll just want to take off his socks on the beach. So don't buy him any. Socks bad, National Lottery scratch cards good.
Mr. Gray, we'll see you now.
HMV and Extravision presents the most talked about film of the year. 50 Shades of Grey. The Unseen Edition includes extended version with alternate ending. Bring home 50 Shades of Grey. The Unseen Edition. Out now at HMV and Extravision.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Niamh Geaney's a freelance TV presenter and joins us to talk about the Twin Strangers Project. Niamh, good morning.
How are you doing?
What's this all about?
Twin Strangers Madness. It's about finding your lookalike, finding your doppelganger. There's a myth there's 7 people in the world that look like us.
Uh-huh.
So about 2 months ago, myself and 2 friends, Harry and Terrence, we had this crazy idea. We set up a 28-day campaign to try and find our doppelganger. Because in 2011, an English journalist named Sophie Robomed found hers.
Yes.
So we were wondering, would we be able to recreate it? Because she found hers through social media. And 2 weeks into the project, I found my first in Karen, which led me to win our little challenge between ourselves. And then I continued on to try to find my other doppelgangers, and I found another one in Italy now.
Interestingly, because I was watching 7 last night, it's a very famous film, and found mine in Brad Pitt.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
Brad Pitt, yeah. Mike.
Didn't even have to go on the internet. Wasn't that amazing?
Great, you'll have to arrange a meetup now.
Yeah, I'll forward on the pictures. But anyway, I digress. Is this via the internet? You're doing it, is it?
Yes, it's all over the internet. All
I've seen the pictures, and some of the likenesses are amazing.
Yeah, they really are. We have a website, twinstrangers.com. So not only are we trying to find my other 5 doppelgangers, but we're also helping people from all over the world to find theirs.
It's inevitable, isn't it, that, they say 7, but even it's inevitable there's going to be 2 or 3 people that look the spitting image of you.
That's funny that you say that, because starting out, I didn't really believe it, you know.
Mm.
And a lot of people are quite suspect to it, you know. But there are some people out there then that get told they look like people all the time. But I never used to get that. So I've definitely been turned around to the idea. And now I'm thinking, yeah, definitely I can find 7. Why not?
Did you have any interaction with them?
Yes.
And any personality similarities, or does it just only extend to features?
Well, it's funny that you mention that. So I met Karen first. She was in Ireland. And our personalities would be different. She would be shyer than me. And then I met Louisa, and I was just blown away. And I really learned that there's a whole other level to this doppelganger thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we look physically similar, but also as her friend said, we have the same soul, the same persona. I think like we act the same, we move the same, we have the same gestures, the same personality, the same sarcastic humor. It was really funny just to watch.
Kind of weird, that, is it? A complete stranger, sort of almost like a mirror.
But that's it, you know, watching her communicate with other people, it was like watching myself. It was very weird, very strange.
But in a good way.
In a great way, yeah.
And you, this is a time, then there's a timeline on this project, is there?
Not anymore. Originally it was 28 days to find our doppelganger, but we had no idea that the world would really grab onto this. You know, this is just between us.
And that you could stick ads on it and make some money, maybe?
Well, no,
you have to do that for the effort.
It was just for kind of pride between us.
I know, I'm only joking.
But now as we go on, like to keep it running, maybe, I have no idea, but we haven't really discussed anything like
that. So what's the success rate been outside of yourself, Niamh, in terms of, you know, finding lookalikes?
Great. I mean, we're getting matches through the site every day. I think we have about nearly 150,000 people registered to the site, and they're all from places like Jordan, Morocco, and America, you know, and of course Ireland as well. Mm. And every day we're getting matches, and we're hoping for some really, really good matches, like people that we think just look incredibly, incredibly alike. You know, when we get like
seriously. See, the difficulty is that, you know, while people may have the same facial features, the way people wear makeup or dress their hair could sort of throw you off the scent. It's an extra challenge in finding the lookalikes, I presume.
Definitely. But it's funny because I've been doing this for so long. When I was trying to find my own lookalikes, for 2 weeks before finding Karen, I really studied people. You know, I tried to look past their makeup, past their hair, past their clothing. But definitely that's a factor in it. So sometimes when somebody contacts us through the website and says they found their match, you know, with another person on our website, and then we get on to the other person and the other person doesn't see it at all, you know, and then all of us on the Twin Strangers team are looking at it going, they're the same person. Because some people can't look.
You're
past
honing them. Your skills now. Just finally, before we go, the website, Niamh, because I'm going to revisit it now because I think I looked at it pretty early and I'd be interested to see how it's developed. So what is the website address?
It's twinstrangers.com.
Brilliant. Niamh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pleasure talking to you. Take care.